You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. This week we are up to part three of Last of the Roman Punks. "We have much to do," Agrippina said inside my head. "Where is my nephew's gladius?" She punctuated the word with a visual image of a battered bronze short sword, like I was too stupid to know what the word meant. "Buried with him," I told her. Nan was thorough. If there was half a chance there were still any monsters in the world, she wanted to make sure us kids were never going to be tempted to hunt them down. Agrippina made liberal use of my excellent swearing vocabulary. "Brian," I said in a quiet voice, "you know these wenches are going to eat me, right? That's what Lamia do. Mostly they eat children, but I'm pretty sure my blood would do in a pinch." "They're not the only ones," Brian said in a ragged voice. "I'm part of it now, Seb." I twisted around to look at him. Yeah, he was all pasty, and there was a glittery sheen to his skin. "It's not too late," I said to him. "Of course it's too late," Agrippina chided. "He drank the blood of Alamia. What did he think he was going to do to him?" "No," I said aloud. "Those papers Eloise stole? I know them by heart. Lamia biology changed in the Victorian era with the Wollstonecraft baby. You weren't born to this, Brian. If you don't feed in a day or so, the Lamia blood will just burn away. All you have to do is hang in there and not bite anyone." He looked at me apologetically, and I made the mistake of meeting his gaze. His silver eyes burned into me and I couldn't move. Fuck, Lamia skills. "I'm sorry," said Brian, "but I have to do this properly. I have to take it back to her." I couldn't prevent him from leaning in, almost nuzzling his face against my collarbone, and then he bit hard and it hurt. And that was enough to break me out of whatever hypnotic shit he had worked on me. I cracked him over the top of the head with my fist and he fell back, his mouth wet with my blood. His reflexes weren't great. Maybe it was the whiskey in my blood, though it couldn't be doing much for me either. I ran towards the bar, vaulting over it as the horde of beautiful blondes hissed and slithered towards me. "Stop it," cried Eloise, halting them for a moment. Ah, she did love me. "His blood isn't pure enough. If we are to bring the Lamia back to full strength, you must feed upon children, all of you." Huh, so much for old time's sake. The Lamia women hesitated, staring at the ragged wound on my neck, which still hurt, damn it. Brian didn't have the juice yet to do the traditional Lamia thing and make the feeding feel good. Or maybe he was just a second-rate monster. And always would be. Trying not to look into any of their eyes, I hammered on the storeroom door, hoping for my own sake the brunette waitress was still there and not hanging out the back window on a rope ladder made from her own Levi's. 45 minutes left. We had 45 minutes before this boat landed and the massacre began. "Let me the hell in," I yelled into the storeroom. "Do you think I'm stupid?" the surly waitress yelled back. Huh, she had a point. "Fire will kill them," Agrippina said inside my mind as the Lamia women hovered between obeying their leader and following the delicious scent of my bleeding neck. "Way ahead of you on that one. If only I had two sticks to rub together." I let my head fall back against the dense wood of the door. Typical. I had to fall for a girl who liked Roman punk. I couldn't have got entangled with a cultist or a part-time assassin or a meth addict. No, I had to go for the pretty girl in sandals who had a thing about Virgil and roast dormice and becoming the queen of the immortal snake women. The door snapped open and I fell backwards into the storeroom. The waitress immediately shut the door behind me, wedging a long shelf along it for extra security. "How do you know I wasn't one of them?" I asked, looking up at her. She made a face and pushed her dark hair behind her ears. "You're just so pathetic." "Excellent," I sat up. "What do we have for weapons? 3 vacuum packs of marinated olives?" "We're going to die then." "Looks like." Only we weren't going to die. The Lamia weren't that interested in us. We could probably hide out here in safety until the automated airship touched down on the Opera House platform, and the Lamia invasion of Earth began. "What's your name?" I asked her. The waitress sighed and sat next to me on the floor. "Jules." Caught by surprise, I started to laugh. "For real?" She scowled at me. "What's so funny?" "You're a Julia." "I guess." She looked like she was seriously beginning to regret letting the bloodstained madman in to share the prison with her. "It's just a name." Sure, it was just a name. Women's first names were chosen randomly these days. They weren't a marker of what family you belonged to. The chances of this surly waitress being descended from the Julii Caesars was minimal, to say the least, but it meant something. It had to mean something that she was here. "We've got to fight back," I told her. I owed it to Julius, to Nan, and to the decrepit old dead woman in my head. I'm not going to say Jules looked at me like I was crazy, but that's only because she hadn't looked at me any other way for a while now. It was our thing. "How do you suggest we do that?" "Blood. Lamia blood was the key. It had to be. If we could stop the airship from touching down for long enough, the Lamia wouldn't be able to feed, and they'd go back to being human, or they'd faint from starvation. As long as we didn't let any more of them gnaw on our necks." "Ever fancied hijacking an airship?" I asked Jules. "That's my boy," said Agrippina in my head. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. See you next time.